Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said some people seem to know how to live everybody's life except their own. We appreciate this opportunity of being with you today and being able to talk about those things that come from the Word of God. I believe the Bible to be inspired of God, and I'm sure that you do as well. That just means that God gave the book, and therefore the things that are recorded in the Bible are things in which we can have great confidence. Let's get back to our discussion concerning the example of Christ. Hebrews 3:1 tells us to consider the apostle and high priest of our calling, Christ Jesus the Lord. And so in our consideration of Christ, we pointed out the fact that Christ was indeed a perfect man. He lived about 33.5 years here upon the earth without committing sin, and thus became a perfect example for us to follow. We've already noted that he was devoted to the cause of his Father, and he did the will of God, even though it was a very difficult thing at times to carry out. A second place that we can look in regard to the life of Christ and try to the best of our ability to follow his example is in his attitude toward religious error. Now, Jesus believed that there are some people in religious error, and so there are a number of statements that he made relative to that, and we ought to be aware that the Lord did not compromise. He did not back off because someone was teaching something religiously that was wrong. The Lord did not hesitate to speak out against the error that is committed. The climate of our world today seems to be this. Political correctness must be followed in every way. That is, we must not at any time say anything against anything that anybody else believes. If somebody believes a thing, don't say anything against it, because he has the same right as you do, and he might be right, and you might be right, and, well, you just don't say anything against anything that people are doing in religious matters. Well, all that has done is just lead to all kinds of confusion, and it simply means that there is no way that we could say a thing is definitely right or wrong. And so we hear people talking about there's no black and white, it's a gray situation. There's no way that you say this is wrong because that's so unkind, and because you're not considerate of people if you say something is in error. Well, what was the Lord's attitude along this line? In Matthew 7:15, Jesus said this, "Beware of those who come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Now, I think we can see clearly that the Lord was saying some people will appear in disguise. Some people appear to be something that they really are not. Sheep's clothing would indicate innocence and really no danger involved. But inwardly, they are ravening wolves. They will destroy you spiritually if you listen to what they have to say. Now, friends, times are no different today than they were in Jesus' day. There were false teachers back there, and there are false teachers as well in regard to our present generation. A statement that is made to that effect is found in 2 Peter 2:1-2. Peter says, "Even as there were false prophets among them, so shall there be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Now, if you look at the passage carefully, you notice that he said, there have always been false teachers. There have always been those who teach in religion that which does not meet the approval of God. Now they go about seeking to devour and getting others to follow their way. And Peter says, by reason of whom the way of truth is evil spoken of. Our obligation is to find out what is truth and what is error, and then to stand on the side of truth. Now, does that mean that we would force our view on those that we believe to be in error? No, we're not forcing our view, but we have a right to present it, don't we? Some time ago, a young man called the radio station, wanted to talk to me about something that I'd said, and he said, "You don't have a right to say that." Well, as he went ahead to talk about it, he said what he thought was right. Well, if he had a right to say it, don't I have a right to say it? Well, very obviously, he was denying me the right to say, though he could say what he wanted to say. Well, that just isn't the way it is. In Matthew 7, verse 21 beginning, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, cast out devils in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." What was Jesus' attitude toward error? Jesus said, you must do the will of the Father in heaven. And when a person is not doing the Father's will, he's doing the will of Satan. And so, even though he might be doing some good things, it was not really service to God. Notice they were saying, we prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We did many wonderful works by your authority. But Jesus said, you're not doing the will of the Father. Therefore, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So the Lord was very clear in his denouncing religious error and speaking out against it. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus pointed out the fact that some people were teaching error and practicing things contrary to the will of God. He does a discussion in regard to the matter of, well, the traditions of men. And as they would set forth their tradition and make it equal to what God said, Jesus pointed out by their tradition, they were contradicting the commandments of God. They had traditions concerning the washing of your hands before you eat. So they criticized the disciples and said, they're not washing their hands before they eat. Now this is a ceremonial washing that had to do with their religious activities. The disciples were not doing that, and they complained because that was the case. But Jesus pointed out to them, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouths, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. He didn't hesitate to renounce the false teaching that they were engaged in. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. We'll pick up at this point in our study tomorrow. I do hope you'll be listening. And remember, it was Jesus who said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We now return you.